Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving Christian patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, broadcasting from the Free Zones. Welcome one and all, and good morning, Lady Liberty.
Good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Wiffle Bat Wednesday.
Right upside the noggin.
That's right.
To the communists.
That's right. They've got it coming. Boy, oh. This is their year. I mean, boy, when we get back into office, you know,
yes.
when Americans get back into office, we are purging the pagan wives.
Oh, I know.
That's how it's going to be.
That's a biblical reference, of course. If you guys have been tracking with us, then you'll know exactly what that means.
That's right.
And
if you don't, you're going to have to go back and listen yourself.
Exactly. Because, you can do that at radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com, where all of our shows are uploaded.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. We post them to our archives every morning by 7 now. And we used to post them by 8. But, you know, we go back 4 years. So
yeah.
as long as you ever wanted to listen, I mean, this has been the 4-year coup on record with
us. Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking about the coup and voter theft.
Everything Ukraine, since COVID started.
The Ukraine war and our proper stance on that.
Yep.
The open border, I mean, masks and the so-called vaccine.
Yep.
All the way through the Israeli war. I mean, everything from a Christian perspective, we should be standing on these issues. We've covered it.
Yep, that's so, right.
Yep. Yeah, that's a pretty cool archive. You know, maybe one day, you know, like our grandchildren or great-grandchildren would listen to that and find out what was going on in America, where Christians stood for it, you know, what they stood for.
That's right, and historically what happened day by day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the world stage. Yeah, that would be really cool if we were going to be here that long.
That's
right?
Assuming that there would be grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Right.
But, the way things are looking.
I'm really, really looking up, you know,
yeah.
and I'm just praying for him to come back as quickly as possible.
Oh,
we're ready.
Get us out of this mess.
We are ready to get out of here. We're ready to, we're ready to be with him.
Yes,
you know,
we are.
We've had a couple different conversations where I've described to you that, you know, if any one of us, I believe, if any one of us saw Jesus just walking down the road, wouldn't you literally drop everything you were doing and run after him and not even look back? I mean, I would.
Right.
I mean, I would just, you know, run straight off this horse farm right to the road. I'd be like, I'm not taking any, I'm not packing anything. I'm not bringing my purse. I'm just not going to let him out of my sight, you know,
right.
and I'll just disappear. You know, that's how it's going to go. But of course, he's not going to ever walk down the road. But I'm just saying, you know,
he is coming back.
Just imagine that scenario, right?
He is returning, and we are going to be with him. And we're going to be snatched up in an instant,
yep.
in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, so we look very much forward to that. And that's got to be coming up soon.
Oh, yeah.
So, there is a lot to cover, and we are going to be hitting on some of the high points, things that have kind of jumped out at us. But first, let's get into the word of the day.
That's
find
right.
out. Yesterday we were in Exodus. Today,
same thing. We're continuing on. We're gonna just because this is there was no part of it that I read that wasn't very interesting, and
it was.
You know, this is like we're also describing that when pastors, when pastors to be are going through seminary, they're often schooled as to hit the major points, you
right.
know, don't get lost in the weeds. Don't, you know, don't delve into stuff that doesn't really speak to the masses. Well,
right.
we're the ones that get, we get it lost in the weeds, right?
We get into the unsafe topics
of the Bible. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, because I find them fascinating. And I think the more that we know, the better off we are, the better we know God. And so, you know, I don't see any limits. Why put limits on what we should be reading in the Bible, whatever's biblical, word for word, so long as it's word for word.
You know, right? What's interesting is that yesterday, while you were reading out of Exodus, and it talked about Aaron and his sons being chosen as the high priests and right. the garments that they would wear and how they would be adorned. And in my mind, I was thinking, why are we reading this? Is this even relevant? But then I thought, this is our Bible.
Right.
All of it is our Bible.
Every last bit.
All Christians walk around with this is the King James. It's the only authorized true translation of the Bible, or the New King James, or the new whatever they carry. It has Genesis through Revelation.
That's right.
Right? And they're like, this is the Word of God. They'll hold it up and say, this is God's Word. This is our Bible, and it's to be cherished and read. But then how much of it is dismissed?
Right.
How much of it is, well, that doesn't really
It's written
apply
off
to
as
us.
Irrelevant.
That's a Jewish thing. What? That's our Bible.
Yeah, exactly. Everything that we're following in Christ is a Jewish thing as well.
Well,
you know, Jesus was a Jew.
And granted, there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that don't apply to us. A, because we're Gentiles. B, because there's no temple anymore.
Right.
Or for whatever reason, but it is still the history and the heritage of our faith and our God and how He works and how He works with men.
The history of His interaction with mankind ever since He created us.
And not only that, they're foreshadowings of things to come.
That's right.
Some have been fulfilled. Some won't be until we are in eternity. Everything from the Ark of the Covenant to the temple to all of that. The reason why the Lord gave such specific instructions is because this is like a childlike model of what is in heaven.
Right.
It is all of these things, the priests and the garments that they wore in the temple and how everything's laid out, including the dimensions, are foreshadowing of something that is real and eternal and already exists. And he made us build models of
That's right.
things that are real. Right. In heaven. So it is relevant.
It is.
Even if we don't do sacrifices today, understanding what He had them do at a certain time is still part of our heritage.
Right.
It is still a foreshadowing.
Well, and that's the thing too. You know, when each of us first met our spouse-to-be, right, didn't we all find everything that they did ultra fascinating? Like everything you could dig up about that person,
right.
you wanted to know every last detail. Oh, how did they react to that? Oh, did you see his face? Did you see what, you know,
right.
all these things, or this part of his history or that part of his history, what made him the way he is, you know, of these fascinating things that you do with somebody that you love, that you adore, right? Well, I have that about reading the Bible as well, because all these little details, these are the details that help me understand who God is, right?
Exactly. And, how you learn His character.
Yeah.
What makes Him tick.
Right, exactly.
Really.
Like, you know, I'm always surprised because His ways are higher than our ways. And so when I read very specific directions, very specific pieces of something that He wants built. He has instructions right down to the very last little pomegranate that He wants on something.
You know,
he's very, very precise, obviously. And so many times I caught myself saying, why is that important? You know, what's the big deal about that?
Right.
Why is He so specific about that? Well, and then you kind of, you know, catch yourself and you go, oh, well, He's God. He created He created molecules, okay? He created the things that actually function.
Yeah, everything that works,
everything that works, He created it, so no wonder He's specific. You know, it has to be, and it is, and that's the only reason everything in the universe functions.
So when He says, this is the way I want it, you say, yes, sir.
You say, oh, absolutely, sir, yes, sir.
That's it. And not only that, but it is a model of something that already exists.
Right.
Of something else.
Yep.
Is it make it just like this?
Yeah.
And there's a reason.
Yep.
There's a reason why he specifies certain things and procedures and right. dimensions.
Well, yeah, because I mean, we could not make an electron. You know, let's go small right. particle. We couldn't right. make a quark. We couldn't make a neutrino. We could not even make the tiniest little functioning piece of matter. We couldn't do it. We're incapable. And so, yeah. So when he talks about little details, it's because that's how it's supposed to be. There's no question.
It's kind of interesting to see the arrogance of modern scientists.
Right.
In the science community. When they boast of what we can create. We right. can make this. We can create that. We can actually create life. Well, what they're doing is they're stealing all of God's ideas and creation. They didn't create anything. They're using what God created out of nothingness.
That's right.
I mean, if you want to make a brick and say, I created a brick,
right.
you're using dirt God made, right? right?
Yep.
And the molecules that hold them together and the physics of putting that in a kiln and baking it to harden it. And so you can use it as a construction material and then brag about you are now a creator as right. well. We have no use for God, right? right. So it's very fascinating to watch, especially the intellectual community, how they boast.
Right.
Like almost they've elevated themselves to God-like status.
Or above, yeah.
And they're stealing all of his stuff. Okay, so let's wipe the slate clean. There is nothingness. Now go create something new.
That's right.
That God didn't create. You can't steal right. his ideas.
Yeah, yep.
Now go forth.
That's right.
Well, I will make planets. And nope, can't do that. It's got to be something completely unique that you right. created.
That's right.
Well, I will make molecules. Nope, you can't make molecules. Nope. It's got to be unique.
And that's funny, too, because it's almost like, you know, if you provided a three-year-old with a whole pile of you know, Lincoln Logs or
Legos
or, yeah. you know, whatever, and you said, okay, here, you can play with these. And so he, you know, works at it for a while and makes a little cabin and, you know,
right.
and makes some other cool stuff. And he looks at you all proud of himself. Look what I made, you know? So it's basically the same kind of thing. Like if God was watching us, you know, and we're manipulating stuff when the scientists have said we've created life by yeah. taking electricity and adding it to some plasma, you know? And so you go, well, where'd you get the electricity? You know, and the plasma, you just put components that already exist together. That doesn't take a genius.
Right, that's like the three-year-old saying, I am a creator.
Yes,
now. right. No, you're creative.
You're creative, right.
Yeah, you didn't make those Legos.
That's right.
But,
oh, boy.
Yeah, very cool. Very, very interesting. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so to the word of the day, where we were headed originally in this conversation. And so so the word of the day for Wifflebat Wednesday comes to us from Exodus chapter 28, the continuation, where we finish off with verses 15 through 30, which read under the title, The Breastplate. You shall make, you shall make the breastplate of judgment, artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. You shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. And you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and an emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold settings, And the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with its own name, they shall be according to the 12 tribes. You shall make chains for the breastplate at the end, like braided cords of pure gold. And you shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Then you shall put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate, on the edge of it, which is on the inner side of the ephod. And two other rings of gold you shall make and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod, using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod, and so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. And that's it.
Very interesting.
In that, you know, gosh, because the Urim and the Thummim is what would turn, or they would light up. They would light up. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And, yes, and the yes. Urim and the Thummim is what the Jews used later on to get yes, no answers from God.
Right. Should we go up against this city and try to overtake it?
Right.
And you know, this was a pretty cool study that we did at one point where a prophet or the Israelites or a leader would say, so-and-so inquired of the Lord, should we go up against the city? And he says, no, don't. Or, yes, do. And we're like, what? Did he, like, was this in a dream? Did he show up like a Christophany? How did he say yes or no to them? It just doesn't describe. Like, so were they literally standing in front of God? And he says, no, don't do it. Or, yes, do it. No, this is through the Urim and the Thummim.
Yeah, the Urim.
Know, right? Almost the, got it.
Linoleum petroleum.
Right.
Through the Urim and the Thummim.
Yes.
And it says here in the Bible notes that the Urim and the Thummim were put in the breastplate. These were some type of device used to understand messages from Yahweh.
Right.
And so, you know, clearly they're set in gold. They're set in gold.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's just kind of, if you're thinking about maybe superconductivity or you know, maybe electromagnetic EMR, you know, this kind of thing that maybe there's some kind of a special transmission that is made available by the stone content. You know, it's very interesting. God knows why it works.
And we don't know. We really don't know what those things are. Today, even scholars and archaeologists we've not discovered this thing, this item.
Right.
And, you know, some people, of course, this is pure speculation that maybe it was placed into the Ark of the Covenant, you know, archived there or something, but we've never encountered anything archaeologically, which is the perfect setup for people to say, see, it never really existed.
Right.
And then we're going to find it.
Right.
Right. And so very interesting, well, just like all the other archaeological things. So it's going to be fun when that's found, discovered at some point.
Yep. Yeah. And to find out all the details behind how it worked and why it worked, you know, and it's just being with God is going to be a blast. I'll tell you what,
yeah.
I can't wait. We'll have answers to everything we've ever wanted to know. So I'm so looking forward to all of that.
Probably won't even have to ask. It'll just be made. We'll just have this awareness and all this, aha, the eternity is going to be, wow, right. I know this stuff now.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yep.
But okay, well, yeah, fascinating. That's interesting. And to go back to Exodus, especially these particular scriptures is well, just not something you're normally going to hear talked about from the pulpit today.
That's right. You know,
it's very interesting, unique, and it's actually kind of fun to get out in the weeds.
It is.
And read God's word.
Yep.
Off the beaten path where all the safe topics are, you know, about loving and forgiveness and
right.
trusting in the Lord and, you know, all the other vanilla topics that are right. just ground in, you know, over. And those are actually very good life Christian living principles that need to be taught and they need to be retaught. But
God has so much more for us.
There
in
is
store.
So much more.
There's so much more. Just, I mean, he knows the answer to every single yeah. question.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting. Okay. So this was Exodus 28?
Yep.
Or
28 okay. verses 15 through 30.
All right. Got it. Okay. Good. It's kind of nice having the freedom to go a little bit long. We're not pressed up against the break, you know, within
that's right.
within inside the 15-minute mark. So.
That's right. It's fun. We get to elaborate a little bit more, especially about the word that's so fascinating. So fantastic.
And hopefully you guys in the listening audience are enjoying this too. You're not just like, oh, this is taking forever. This show is taking forever.
We can also shorten it back up as well, you know.
So. Yeah. It was pretty fun. Okay. Well, stick around. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be back with segment two right after this. This segment brought to you by Katie Armour, the Christian patriot-owned business. Serious body armor for serious times. These are serious times. And the website is katiearmor.com, C-A-T-I, katiearmor.com. We'll be back with segment two right after this. Stay there.
The world is caught in an era of socialist expansion. Most of the nations are affected. And America is a target. In fact, the number one target of both the socialist and the communist. If we permit our great system to crumble through the apathy of our citizenship, we shall lose not only our freedom, but our prosperity and our still brighter future.
I've said these fellows are lying, dirty, shrewd, and I say, they are godless. To me, this is perhaps the most frightening word of all, because it accounts for every other bad word that describes them. When the Reds tear down their churches or turn them into common warehouses, when they torture and kill their priests, ministers, and rabbis, we are horrified, yes, but why are we surprised? What do you expect of a people who say, the church is our enemy and must be destroyed? No one can be a true communist and hold any religious convictions. I say to you, it is bad to be irreligious, but it is far worse to be anti-religious. It is reprehensible to be immoral, but it is horrifying to be unmoral. To them, any wrong they do is right. Well, these are some of the more frightening facts we must understand if we are going to understand communism, and we'd better understand it.
Welcome back, Christian Patriots, to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Morning podcast coming out of the American Redoubt. And this segment is brought to you by Prepping 2.0. helping to take your preps to the next level. That's prepping2-0.com. Check it out. Lady Liberty, segment two.
That's right, everyone. Welcome back to Wiffle Bat Wednesday. And speaking of Wiffle Bat, Trump managed to Wiffle Bat the Mexican president pretty well. I'm so glad to see this.
That.
Says here that Trump reacts to the Mexican president's $20 billion demand from the Biden regime, and he says, I wouldn't give him 10 cents.
Right.
And so
that's true.
Yeah, exactly. Are you kidding? Trump had that guy paying for our stuff, you know, and so clearly, the
In
Mexican
fact,
president is now trying to work Biden the same way.
I was going
to
say, is the other way around. He had yep. the Mexican president paying us.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so we know that Trump is the one that carries the real wiffle bat. And everybody else knows that, too, around the whole world.
Right.
You know, that's why everybody's trying to get here as fast as they possibly can get here, you know, and sneak one over on the U.S. before Trump gets back in, because they know he doesn't play.
That's right.
He's absolutely serious. And so that's what we're just all waiting for, that outside of rapture.
Yeah. Now, a couple of notes here, because we have a couple of clips to play here. International, I don't know if you caught this, but there was a big earthquake, set like 7.4 in Taiwan. Japan's calling for tsunami warnings.
Oh, wow.
So we have at least one listener that we know of in Japan. So we'll be checking on them.
Wow, that's interesting, too, well, you know, and we're speaking globally, we've got this announcement here that France announces it will stop all throwing away of decommissioned weapon systems or giving it to other countries. All of it will be sent to Ukraine from now on.
What?
Weapon systems that are still working and were to be decommissioned in the coming years will be replaced and sent to Ukraine.
Okay, very interesting. I did not know that, because I just saw the headline yesterday that the United States is pulling these B-1B bombers out of mothball to put them back into service.
Oh, imagine that.
And I wonder, are those going to be for Ukraine too?
Exactly.
I didn't even look deep into the article.
Well, they're globalists, and all the globalists pal around together, and they all have the same ideas because they think they run and rule the world. And so clearly that must, you know,
anything
don't be surprised.
Anything they can do to escalate war and justify NATO.
That's right.
And of course, right now, I mean, Israel is right on the edge of this. The whole Middle East is about ready to just explode. Several countries have stood behind Iran or against Israel for their airstrike on the consulate of Iran, taking out high-level, you know, terrorists supporting generals and other staff. So we're keeping a very close eye on that.
This whole thing could just really
blow up really quickly, within hours.
Right, and no pun intended. It says here, Iran sends letter to the UN stating it reserves legitimate and inherent right to respond decisively to Israel's strikes on the consulate building in Damascus. Huh. Well, so Iran is looking at UN as if they're the boss?
Well,
and getting permission and basically saying, you know, having to go through the UN to get their approval? How bizarre.
Well, what's interesting is the contrast of the responses at the UN when Iran says it's retaining its right to defend itself, when Israel said it's retaining its right to defend itself after the October 7th attacks. They're like, well, it has to be proportionate. And hold on a minute now. Let's not overreact.
Right.
I mean,
as if the UN is the parent to Israel.
Yeah. You know what, Israel? Let them have it.
Yeah.
Just let them rip.
Blast them to the moon.
Yep.
Because honestly.
You got your back.
Yep. Because the UN has no say over anybody.
It doesn't even have any legitimacy.
No,
it's only legitimate because they said they are.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. They've assumed some position that nobody said they could have.
Right.
And so, you know, so long as we give them any credit, that's the only way that they are going to assume any authority. So long as we laugh at them, they'll just have to go hide, you know?
Yeah. So, and here, this is the never ending pursuit of legitimacy.
Yep.
Even AOAC was saying that these leftist efforts to enact a Green New Deal without Congress is outside the rule of law, right? They want to be in charge because they want to have that authority stamp on it. Green New Deal.
Yep.
Nobody can go out there and do Green New Deal stuff without, you know, official stamp of, because they want it to be as binding and enforceable as possible.
Oh, brother.
And that's what the UN's pushing for. And of course, these globalists in the deep state are obliged to help them.
Right.
So.
Well, and see, this is where I need to interject that this is why I need to be in Congress. I'm a UN expert. And so, here's all of these people in Congress being these mouthpieces for the United Nations that I'm extremely familiar with, that I'll be able to nail those people to the wall, because every last thing that they say that they're repeating from the UN, I can identify it. I know exactly where it came from, when, most likely, as well, and I can nail them, because that is collusion with a foreign governance, and I'm going to nail them every single time because it's illegal.
I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to watch somebody actually who isn't a UN who is a UN expert that can tell AOAC to sit down and shut up.
Oh boy, you know what? She's going to be one of those people that I'm never going to leave alone.
I'll bet the incidence of accidental tripping in the hallways is going to like go completely escalate.
Tripping? Who would do such a thing?
How'd you get three bloody noses in 1 week smacking into
Good
the wall?
Good grief. Oh, geez. Up the stairs. That's terrible.
Oh, wait. Are we calling for violence? That's what the left's going to say. They're calling for violence.
Heaven forbid I keep a wiffle bat in my office, right?
No kidding. Doesn't leave any bruises, just welts.
That's right. Oh dear. Oh, we're having so much fun.
All right.
Okay. Well, so anyway, on a more serious note, or should I say on a more Soros note, it says here that Soros Propaganda Network founder has visited Biden White House 20 plus times. Oh, well, there's no real shock there.
No.
It's just nice to know that the one of the world's richest men is pretty much just got this open door policy in the White House.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because he funded it, I'm sure, along with the Chinese. So
yep.
He wants to check up on his investment.
Right. No kidding. Exactly. Make sure, you know, he's acting as a landlord and making sure his tenant is keeping the house all cleaned up.
Right.
And so, you know, we've got another clip here speaking of people that have too much money and meddling in affairs that they ought not, especially where it's illegal as all get out. Listen to this little clip that we have here about Larry Silverstein. Listen to what he's been up to lately again.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I have this right. Larry Silverstein, he is the person who re-signed an insurance policy on the World Trade Centers 6 weeks before they went down. He is also the person who has a $1 trillion insurance policy on the Baltimore Bridge. But for some reason, Joe Biden has come out and said that we taxpayers are going to pay for all of that reconstruction, even though there's a $1 trillion policy that the same man who got paid for the World Trade Centers coming down is going to get paid for this major blow to our infrastructure. When is it going to not feel like we're living in a Netflix special?
I did not know that. Now, we haven't vetted this.
Right.
But if this is true...
That is true about the World Trade Centers.
Oh, I knew that. Yeah. I knew that's true. But does he also have... Did I hear that right? A $1 trillion policy on the bridge?
Policy on the bridge. And, you know, it's really bizarre that, you know, Biden would step up and say that they're going to fix it right away when that more or less, I don't know, that... Like we were describing, that is the perfect example of the Belt and Roads Initiative, and also all of the different other kind of surprising factors that go into repairing that bridge, and you know, with all the public-private partnerships
yes.
going on there, where people stand to make quite a bit of money. You know, that's that whole fascist principle. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and to the detriment of all the people who have to pay for it, like five or six times over.
No.
So
I'm just curious. I didn't know you could just go and take an insurance policy out on a bridge. You know what I mean? How much does it cost to take? How much would it cost to take an insurance a $1 trillion insurance policy out on, say, the White House and the Pentagon?
And so here's, exactly. And so it doesn't become suspicious unless something happens to them shortly afterwards.
Right.
Right. Which is why, if somebody is murdered after you take an insurance policy out on them, you are instantly suspect number one.
Oh,
instantly.
I need to
call
the insurance agent. Right. No, but I didn't even know. I mean, could we have just taken out an insurance policy on that bridge?
Well, it kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, is there money? Is there more money to be made? Could we, you know,
no kidding.
Seeing as how they're targeting bridges, maybe we should pick a bridge ourselves. You know, which bridge might be next?
We'll do a little bit of research and start taking some insurance policies out and just kind of guess. I don't know. Let's take some insurance policies out on just like the cities, just major cities. And
right. We're pretty good at watching patterns, you know. And
if Trump wins,
analysis,
all these cities are going to burn to the ground, right?
Right, exactly.
So,
yes, can you take out an insurance policy on a city?
Why not?
Yes, watch our Chinese enemies
closely.
Well,
the problem is it takes millions to make trillions,
right,
you know,
right.
So...
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, so, you know, we've got one last clip here that we wanted to elaborate a little bit more on because we felt that we got cut short on the last Trump clip about what happened on Easter. And so this has just a little bit more to it to add that we thought you might appreciate as well. And so go ahead and listen now.
We're going to win the White House and we are going to save our country. We're going to save our country. And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians. And November 5th is going to be called something else. You know what it's going to be called? Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen before. Let's call it Christian Visibility Day, all right? I've just come from Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I was proud to receive the endorsement of the police.
Yeah, Christian Visibility Day.
Well, Christian Visibility Day had better be the day that we all vote. I'll tell you what, Christians better come out in droves.
Yep, they need to enforce en masse because that's our only hope. I mean, two sides to that. One, that enough states have done enough that it will impact their ability to steal as many votes. And secondly, that so many people turn out that it's such an astronomical number of people voting for Trump that they can't steal it. They can't buy that many votes to offset it.
That's right.
And that's our hope because, I mean, we're not highly confident in it because not enough has been done to ban
electronic
voting machines and the ballot harvest, the mail-in ballots.
Yep.
Multiple countries have gotten rid of mail-in ballot voting because it is rife with, it is so exploitable for corruption that they have literally gotten rid of it. And in Venezuela, Malay.
In Argentina.
Argentina.
Yeah,
got rid of the electronic voting machines.
Yep. We need to be walking right in their footsteps.
Yep.
And I mean, pray to God that something happens about Congress pulling their heads out and I don't know, mysteriously at this point, miraculously deciding to nationally ban all electronic voting machines because they cause so much election fraud. I don't know why that was not first on their agenda. We're still wondering, scratching our heads, how could they have missed the most prominent, catastrophic, pivotal point this nation has ever faced with elections?
If we don't, then every day is going to be Communist Chinese Party Visibility Day.
Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth?
Man. So, well, we're out of time, but thank you guys for being with us. Keep Israel in your prayers. Pray for our folks that are potentially in the path of this tsunami, and pray for the Republic.
That's
join us.
For sure.
Yeah, join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute at 7 a.m. Pacific time right here.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wiffle Bat Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.